Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
I don't know how closely you are following these inquiries and these commissions. It is very confusing. I started a spreadsheet, abandoned it when I realized it was pointless. But every now and then, something comes up that is very, very, perhaps maybe deeply troubling. And there is a legal battle unfolding inside South Africa's already embattled law enforcement structures. Crime Intelligence Major General Feroz Khan has rushed to court to stop the SAPS from accessing data on electronic devices seized during his arrest, warning that undercover operatives could be exposed and that, these are his words, people could die if the information falls into the wrong hands. He claims that the devices contain sensitive intelligence linked to political killings, gang investigations, undercover operations, and informants. Critics are arguing that the case raises uncomfortable questions. When senior police officials themselves face criminal allegations, who gets to decide what is national security and what is simply maybe a little bit of self-service? So to help unpack this, the legal, political, institutional implications, we are joined by none other than Michael Bagram. Michael, a very good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning. It honestly sounds like something out of a political thriller. How serious is this situation institutionally for South Africa?
Well, it's incredibly serious, and you've hit the nail on the head. This is actually one of the worrying things that has come out of this. First of all, what is really worrying is that it looks like the whole top echelon of the police are all crooked. And I'm saying that because every single person that gets touched has got a problem. Mm. And it looks like with Khan, he might even be protecting himself as opposed to protecting others. He's trying to twist it to show that he believes that the whole top echelon of the police force are so crooked, because he said there are some people that are tainted. The very people that are now wanting to access, he doesn't trust. He's not saying outsiders will get it. If you look at the statement carefully, he doesn't trust the police. The issue is, who guards the guards? Because you don't know who to trust anymore. The other thing is, and he's missed out on one little jump, and that is many people who are doing nefarious things, and we've just seen someone else, are pretending that they've been robbed of their devices. Because when someone suddenly, try and put the links together over here, because you can stage a robbery, get all your devices stolen, and then when someone eventually then touches you and says, right, we're now going to get a court order to get your devices, sorry, it got stolen a few days ago, nothing I can do about it. Meanwhile, they might have dumped it in the harbor. You know, there's a wonderful harbor in Cape Town and Port Elizabeth and wherever. So what I'm trying to say is he missed out on that. He should have actually come forward and said, no, it's all been stolen, sorry. And so what I'm saying is, I don't actually trust anyone anymore. I don't know where to turn. And as a politician, you shake hands with someone, and then you feel in your pocket to see if your wallet is still there. So what I'm trying to say is, what is coming out now of the woodwork in South Africa should have come out 30 years ago, or at least 20 years ago, when we had the state capture at its most advanced stage. And we all thought that the Zondo Commission had uncovered everything, but that seems to be just scraping the top layer. And now what we're seeing is the very people that we're supposed to be trusting and we're relying on can't be trusted. And you've got an operative, a senior operative, Khan, who's saying, I can't trust them. So, I mean, let's say he gets informants. Where does he send that information to?
Exactly,
he can't trust them in the first place. So, I don't know whether he's got a treasure trove there or whether he's trying to cover up something for himself.
Just for Michael, for anybody who hasn't been closely following this, what was he actually arrested for?
Well, because they're not entirely sure, and it's really difficult to say what he's arrested for. But everyone has fingered him.
Yes.
And so all these people are saying that he seems to know about a lot of the nefarious activity that's going on. I suspect everyone, every single spook in the police force knows exactly what's going on. Some people are too scared to come forward and actually say, hold on, we all know what happened to Dekaran with the whistleblowers.
Sure.
And that's why whistleblowing legislation is being changed now, because we need to protect whistleblowers. And he might be a good guy, Khan, who knows? But they've now all putting the dirt onto him, and it seems like all the nefarious dirt. Maybe he is the good guy, and maybe that dirt is just to try and get him involved, and he's not too scared. He's running scared. And he'll shut up then. So it might be a way of shutting it up. It might be that he actually has done wrong and he doesn't want anyone to get his devices. But he wasn't clever enough, like some of our previous senior politicians who shouted, we've had a robbery.
Wow. You know, so, I actually can't believe that I was so obtuse and didn't think of that. you know, when you
well,
hear...
as soon as I saw it, I thought, oh, my God, here we go.
It's,
here we go. No one wants to see those devices.
Wow. Yeah, because my original thought was, I knew it didn't make sense. I mean, it just doesn't, you know, these things just don't feel right. But there's no security and
there's hundreds of security guards all around. Yeah, we spend more money on politicians' security and retired ministers of security than we spend more money than we do on the actual police force. And there's something very fishy.
Wow. So if we, obviously, there might well, going back to Khan, there might well be legitimacy to his concerns. But on balancing that are these competing realities, public safety versus the need to investigate alleged wrongdoings. How do we balance this?
Well, it doesn't look like we can, because public safety is not going to be gained either way. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, I'm going to be handing it to people who are the people we need to worry about. Mm. And they're then going to find out who are the people that are actually coming and telling the truth. And so they all are unsafe. But or he's protecting himself, or he's protecting friends. I don't think we can balance it at all. There's no balance here, because every which way the interpretation looks at this is showing that the system's rotten.
Mm.
Every which way. I can't think of a legitimate reason as to why there's some other way of protecting the
information.
State security.
Yeah.
State security is shot. It's gone. It's not there anymore. And this tells the story. So you take all my interpretations that I've used now on the short chat, all of them are dirty.
Yeah.
Every single interpretation is dirty.
So we've seen repeated scandals involving senior police this over the last years, and particularly at the moment. It's clear that this is not isolated. The institution is dysfunctional. How does the police move forward, A, to clean up the act, and B, to regain public trust, which is absolutely vital for the functioning of a successful police force?
Well, they are good people, and they probably need to start clearing out the top. We do need to see a lot more orange uniforms.
Mm.
I'm hoping, you know, there is an outside hope that Minister Kachalia will start looking at this, because it was a good thing an outsider came in. I don't know Kachalia, Professor Kachalia at all, but it's a good thing that an outsider came in, so he doesn't come with those dirty hands. And hopefully he's got the guts and the brave-hearted attitude to say, well, these are naughty people. Let's put them in jail, and let's take some of the younger ones through the system. We had a wonderful policeman in Cape Town that actually got murdered, Charles Kinnear. Those people were actually true policemen. You know, the bobby on the beat, and come up through the ranks, and wanting to actually try and kill crime. But it looks like what we've got now at the whole top layer, and there might be one or two good people. I don't know. I'm not a police expert, but what I'm saying is that whole top layer seems to have been fingered and no one trusts each other. Maybe it's for money. Maybe it's to protect other people. Maybe it's to protect politicians. But I've never heard of this before. I mean, we read about other jurisdictions such as Mexico, where the police force was completely rotten. And we look at it and think, how did they get to that level? Well, here we are. Here we are, guys. That's us, South Africa. We've got our police force that is governed by people that none of us can trust anymore. I'm a common and garden citizen, and would you, if you find a wallet with 10,000 rand in it, would you go and hand it in at your nearest police station?
No, that's the acid test. Yeah, absolutely right. Very frightening. In fact, that's where we leave it. Michael Bagram, thank you as always. What an enlightening conversation and such an interesting question. If you found a wallet with 10,000 rand in it, I'm presuming we're giving it back because my listeners are good people. We're giving it back. Would you hand it in to the nearest police station? Yes or no?